This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Ron Nuttall, Jim Cromer.
They're talking about what you're talking about. Welcome to Ruffled Feathers from the Two Birds on a Bat Show.
Happy opening day, everyone, and welcome to Ruffled Feathers right here at Two Birds on a Bat. We're coming to you from the patio studios. The show is brought to you by our friends at Adam Smokehouse and Patterson Tire and Service. At 3:10 Central Time, the Cardinals will take on the Reds today in Cincinnati. And my personal question is, will I even be able to watch it? I know a lot of streamers like me are pretty frustrated that a lot of these services don't seem to be carrying what was once known as Fox Sports Midwest, now known as Bally Sports Midwest. Are having a difficult time figuring out where you can watch a game. So, I happen to be out of market, as many of you know, if you've been listening, and I do get MLB.TV, but it is subject to blackout restrictions, and somehow Cincinnati, Ohio lays claim to the Charlotte, North Carolina area, although it's about 7 hours away if you're in a car, I guess, as Bob Uecker would say, 5.5 hours if you really step on it. But nonetheless, if I can't get the game, I will have access to the audio feed, so I'll be able to listen to our KMOX crew, led by John Rooney and Mike Shannon, at 4:10 Eastern Time, my time. But it's opening day. I'm very excited about this, and I'm excited to hear real fan noise in the stadium. It'll be hopefully a little bit better than the fan noise in spring training, which was, you could tell it was a limited audience. So, I mean, I'm kind of being an ass here, but it's probably going to be like a sellout in Pittsburgh. Right, even at like 30% capacity or wherever they're at, that's just me, and that wasn't necessary. But it'll feel like a regular home game. Thankfully, they're not playing there right now. But they open up against Cincinnati. It'd be Jack Flaherty against Luis Castillo. These guys are two dark horse candidates for Cy Young, as many experts have kind of labeled them this year. Question is, will Jack bounce back? You know, will we get the Jack Flaherty that we think he can all be this year? Okay enough spring training, but we'll see. You know, these games matter starting today, and I couldn't be more excited. Baseball is back. So our rotation, I mean, not really, I guess a few surprises as we broke camp and the rosters, the 26-man roster finalized. Jack Flaherty was, he was announced as the opening day starter weeks ago by Mike Schultz. So, no mysteries there. We knew Adam Wainwright would be at the top of that rotation, too. Looks like he's going to get the home opener in what is likely to be his final year. Carlos Martinez cracks the rotation. He'll probably settle in as the third starter, and the rotation rounds out with Daniel Ponce de Leon and John Gant. A couple big questions around those guys there. I don't mind at this point in the season seeing John Gant in the rotation. You know, he's always had that capability. Probably always want most of these guys that throw, that's what they want to do. They want to start. So he's going to get his opportunity to do that. Daniel Ponce de Leon makes me nervous, though. And look, I've got no numbers or anything in front of me or history in front of me right now. I just feel like many times I look up, it's the third inning, and he's already on, he's in the 50s as this pitch count or 60. So I don't expect him to go very deep into many games. So we do have some long relief. In the backside of that bullpen, guys like Jake Woodford, that can eat some innings up. So we go into this year with Miles Michaelis and Kim, both on the IL. The bullpen does look strong. I mean, at least as far as names go, Jordan Hicks is not yet up with the team. But what we saw in spring training was, at least, you look at the radar gun, he's right where he left off when he played. So that's a great sign. So probably be a little bit of a mix at the closer. I'm sorry, Hicks is on the roster. What the hell am I thinking? I'm looking right at it. For some reason, I just thought briefly he wasn't, but disregard what I just said. Even with him in the bullpen, though, it's probably going to be a little bit of a rotation at closer. And then we've got a couple lefties in Cabrera, Miller, and Webb. Helsley back there. Hicks, Gallegos, and Alex Reyes. I guess the one thing I was... Look, I get it. I just really wish I see a name like Alex Reyes that I saw that in the rotation. And I get why he's not in there right now. I'm hoping he gets a chance, but obviously they're going to be cautious with him. He's, you know, got an injury history there, and they need him. He brings a you know, what a live arm he brings to the bullpen. But gosh, we'd all love to see it in the rotation, but it's not going to happen right now. So glad he's contributing. Glad he's on the team. Glad he's on the roster, right? And he's active and he's playing again. So it's a good sign. But glad to see him there. The only surprise for me as far as the arms go was really Cody Whitley, that he was sent down. I expect, well, there's really two surprises. One wasn't as surprising as Cody Whitley. The other, I haven't gotten position players yet, would really be Lane Thomas. I thought for sure he would break camp, but he's been sent down. And he'll remain in Florida for the time being. Harrison Bader's injury did give an opportunity for Justin Williams, who is a left-handed bat, adds a little bit of mix to that outfield. So really, as far as position players go, that was the one that that kind of surprised me a bit, that Lane Thomas didn't break camp. But I got to tell you, though, I am absolutely thrilled to see John Nogowski get an opportunity. I think that's fantastic. If you follow me on Twitter, you can go to @TOR_Ron75. And I posted a link of an interview I did a little over 2 years ago over at Arch City Media on Facebook. But there's a link to it, to a show I used to do. And Derek King of Gateway City Sports and myself spent about 45 minutes with John Nogowski, then a Springfield Cardinals first baseman. So, you know, they had just acquired Paul Goldschmidt. And so obviously we wanted to ask about, okay, gosh, what's that? You know, you're a first baseman. He throws left, he bats right. But when you're, you know, the big club acquires somebody like that, how does that feel? You're a minor leaguer trying to work your way up, knowing that, there's a big name there now. How else am I going to make it? You know, how else am I going to get an opportunity? He spent quite a bit of time with us, and admittedly, at times, some active players, I don't particularly seek those types of interviews or most of the time I don't find them overall the most interesting. Those guys are really focused on what they're doing daily, and you only get so much out of them. But he spent a good amount of time with us and really gave us some good insight on just kind of what his journey was like up to that point. And just, you know, some inside, not inside information in the way you're thinking, but just some good insights, I should say, into, you know, life as a minor leaguer. So I thought that was a great interview. If you want to check it out, go find me on Twitter @TOR_Ron75. And there's a link, but, happy and thrilled to see him, make the team out of camp and get his opportunity up to big leagues. And if there is a last minute vote, and I'm crossing my fingers on this one, if there is a last minute vote on DH, I hope that it does happen. I hope that it happens because that means he's going to get some more opportunity. And yes, I know what most people are thinking. If a DH arrives overnight or at noon today, Matt Carpenter is going to be the DH. And that might be the case. But I think John Nogowski's made his case as well that he should get an opportunity if that position all of a sudden shows up, nothing would shock me at this point with the adjustments baseball has to make on the fly. All right, so with me right now is my father, and why wouldn't you want to bring your dad on your show on opening day? He's probably the reason I've taken to this sport to begin with, and definitely the source of my Cardinals fandom, at least originally. I know that when I was young, I was a cringeworthy kid to probably take to a ball game, but I think I improved over the years, hopefully. But you know, my dad is on, and we're going to be watching opening day today. So, Dad, this one's a lot different than what we've been used to. Like we're going to see. Well, I guess the crowd, so it's limited capacity, and I think Cincinnati might be at 30%, 32%, kind of like St. Louis is. So you're not going to see a full crowd, and they're going to be spaced out a little bit, but at least there's real people and not those cardboard cutouts sitting around, you know, home plate. So an odd opening day, but an opening day nonetheless, and it actually happened on time, which still surprises me that they were able to pull it off. But 85% of the Cardinals have had their vaccine. I don't know where the Reds stand on that. I know that sounds like the Nationals have run into some issues, but we've got opening day today. My question to you, I guess first one, are you even going to be able to watch it?
I'll be able to watch it. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, you know, streamers like me, and especially in that market, that area, are having difficulty watching the games. It's just really, it's really nuts. I myself use YouTube TV, so when Fox Sports Ohio does show up on there, and it used to, once in a while I get lucky and catch a Cardinals Reds game, but I can't go to MLB.tv for that. It's blacked out. So it's kind of 50-50 whether that's going to show up today or not. I don't think it is, but at least I'll have the radio feed. So I'll one way or the other.
You would think that on opening day it would kind of bypass that. You know, the rest of the season, I understand. But
it'd be great, but, you know, it's casino owned now, so who the hell knows? I mean, who knows? So I don't know. I'll let you know whether I'm able to catch it or not, but I won't be able to watch the entire game live because your grandson, Will, the 8-year-old, who doesn't care about baseball at all, he actually has a game tonight at 6:30 Eastern time. So I'll have to get him ready for that and likely spend half an hour before we have to leave fighting with him just to get his uniform on and get his cleats on, everything else. And he's not like the older one. You know, Sam is conscious about how he appears, what he looks like. He's really taken to the catching position, which surprises me. But Sam's, you know, Sam cares, and he cares about his result. And, you know, he feels the pain and he feels the excitement of playing a sport. Will just doesn't care. He doesn't care. He reminds me of my brother.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah. Built differently, but he reminds me a lot of him, and just his participation in sports just is not at the, it wasn't where I was at, I think, when I was young, and it's definitely not where his brother's at. But whatever, they're two different guys. You know, I think I briefly spoke to you, at least I sent you a picture. You know, Sam, 10-year-old, for those who'll be listening, has taken to the catching position. If you look at his build and his temperament and everything, I've always thought, yeah, he's probably more maybe second base, maybe short. You know, he's got that kind of thin frame. But he's taken to catching, which I think is kind of cool. And I don't know, maybe when we get Benji back on Two Birds on a Bat, I'll let Sam ask him a question. I don't know what the hell that would be. Probably a question about Fortnite and not baseball. But maybe Benji can give him some pointers. He does carry a couple gold gloves. So, all right. For those of you who don't know, I got my father on with me because it's opening day of baseball. It's almost like a second Father's Day. But we have Jack Flaherty going up against Luis Castillo tonight in Cincinnati. I don't quite know what to think of the Reds, but I know that, you know, they no longer have Trevor Bauer. He's getting about $40 million a year, or about $12,000 a pitch over the next 4 years. So what are you expecting in this series early on? I don't know. I don't know how Jack is going to come out of the gate here. I know he's going to be fired up. He's going to be excited to go. But how do you see this opening day going around baseball?
Yeah. Well, I hope it turns out pretty good. I mean, it's hard to tell. Spring training is a whole different animal because these guys are working on different pitches that they may not even throw during the game. You know, they're working on control, location at the plate, off-speed pitches. So we'll find out today exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, some of these guys will only focus on one pitch during any given start or when they're called upon because they're just working on one or two things. And I think I may be remembering this incorrectly, but I think Kim, one of his starts was only operating on two of his pitches. So
right,
you do have to take account for some of that stuff, you know, and some of the guys with high numbers around the league, you know, they could have, you know, that could have been compiled in the later innings where they're not really facing, you know, the guys that are going to end up with on the major league clubs at the, you know, at the end of spring training. So you try to balance all that out. All I know is I don't know. I feel like there are too many spring training games. I don't know how these players feel, but I almost feel like with 2 weeks left, we kind of already know how they're going to break camp. I'm not really sure what those, at least the last week, I'm not really sure what those games are for at that point. I know it just feels a little bit long to me. And that's just a personal thing. I always struggle through those last 2 weeks. They're awful, and I'm glad it's over. So, I don't know. Your prediction for tonight?
I think Flaherty's going to throw a pretty good ball game tonight. I mean, it's super early. These guys, you know, they've been throwing for a little while, but until they build their arm strength up, you know, another month down the road, I think he'll do okay. And the rest of the pitchers, you know, probably actually right now the pitchers probably a little bit ahead of the hitters, because, you know, if you look at spring training, some of the Cardinal hitters, I mean, it was pretty dismal. Some guys had great at bats. Some guys looked terrible. So yeah. I guess we'll see.
Well, speaking of one that didn't have the spring training he wanted, and that was, he's been a lightning, you know, like, I guess a lightning rod as far as Cardinals fans conversations go. And that's Matt Carpenter. A lot of anger. And I'm not sure if most of it is focused at just him, or if it's focused at the organization for how they've handled that whole thing over the last two or three years. I think it's a little bit of both. Yeah. And I think it is too. You know, just trying to think of the human side of this as we do talk about Matt Carpenter. Yeah. He is going to get about $20 million this year. That was the part of the extension he had signed before 2019. And, look, it's got to be frustrating. You're doing everything you can as a person to get yourself ready. Mentally, you still know what to do. You're just not seeing the results. And to be honest, it isn't just this spring training. He's been pretty cold since September of 2018. It's been a long time. And for many of us, we feel like, gosh, how long of a leash do we give somebody? You know, how long is that rope that we throw somebody? And you know, he's probably where he should have been last year, and probably should have been at some points in 2019. His role is a bench player now. It is a bench bat, and I'm sure that's agonizing. You know, I have no question on the guy's effort and the way he's prepared, and he's always done everything that this organization has ever asked him to do. Switch positions, bat in different parts of the order. Somewhere along the line, he dropped off though, and you know, I think that the right decision was made, but I felt like it should have been easier for Mike Schilt and staff. That decision should have been easier because it's pretty clear to everybody. And I think when you have this many people hooting and hollering about the same thing, there is something to that. This isn't just fans overreacting. You know, we're seeing it, and we're seeing that, look, that's not the player we want in the everyday lineup starting. And I don't know, just your thoughts about him, because it is a mixed bag. I have no ill will whatsoever. I don't think anybody that's involved with in Cardinals fan podcasting at all has any ill will towards Matt Carpenter. But it feels like he's done.
Yeah, I've been noticing that. Well, actually, I mean, counting the start of this year, the last 3 years, he had a hot spell there for a month and a half towards the end of the season, but
which I got other to, than that, I got to enjoy that up in Wrigley Field when he was in the middle of all that.
He was on a tear.
He just kicked our ass all day, and it was fun. That's the last time I believe that I've seen him play live. Oh, I take that back. No, I did go into a game in 2019 at Busch Stadium. But that's definitely the last real version of Matt Carpenter that I did see, or real version, but that was the last really good version of Matt Carpenter I saw, was up at Wrigley Field just kicking the Cubs' ass all day. That was great. It was a doubleheader too. You know, Tommy Edman now assumes the role at second base. Of course, we don't have Colton Wong anymore. I know there's some heartburn, you know, letting a Gold Glover walk. Not much heartburn on my end. You know, I liked Colton as a player, kind of as his personality and everything else, but I didn't have much heartburn about letting him walk. Maybe a little agitation that he signed with Milwaukee, but you got to go where the opportunities are presenting themselves and where you feel wanted. So happy for him that he got a deal. I have no issues with Tommy Edman at second base. I think he's going to be steady. You might see a few less highlights, diving plays, but you know, I think Tommy Edman, I don't think we're going to lose much defensively at second base, and I think we have a smart player. And I definitely think that for the mix of players they have right now, there is no other person I'd put in leadoff. It would definitely be him. So, and that's where we saw him most of the time in camp. I expect once the lineup comes out today, that it'll look much of the same way. Who are you most looking forward to seeing play, though? I think I might know the answer to this, but I want to ask you, who on this club are you excited to see get going?
That third baseman they got, Arenado. I like to see him play. I think it's going to be a big surprise with him and Goldschmidt batting back to back. that's going to be nice because now we're going to actually see what Goldschmidt can do. Because face it, I mean, honestly, they pitched around him last year.
Oh, he could have, no doubt. I mean, there's no doubt. Last year, there was absolutely no threat behind him at all.
Yeah, he wasn't getting the good pitches. He was getting all the junk pitches because they really didn't want to throw one down the middle to him. And now they're probably not going to have that opportunity this year.
Well, there's definitely, at least there's somebody to think about behind him. And in years past, you know, I know Ozuna was there in 2019, but such a streaky player. Like when he's on a hot streak, I'm sure pitchers are thinking, oh man, we got Big Bear on deck. But, you know, when he's going cold or he's not going so well, it might as well be, you know, the old version of Tyler O'Neill or DeYoung or anybody. And so, yeah,
right.
It's really, really nice. We haven't seen a third base, first base combo like this since Rolen and Pujols. And so that's what I'm most looking forward to seeing today. Glad baseball's back, but the corner of the infield is I'd argue, the best in baseball.
Yeah, defensive-wise, they're super. Offensive-wise, I mean, I don't think you can pick a first and third baseman in the league, period, that is better than those two together.
Oh, I know some Cub fans that might throw Rizzo and Bryant at you, but they better enjoy those guys where they're still in blue.
I would expect that. I've been listening to that my whole life. So.
Yeah, but you know what? When you don't have anybody, if they think nobody's listening, they're going to go, yeah, I'd probably take Goldschmidt and Arenado over what we've got today. They would absolutely. If they were wagering their house on it, let's just put it that way. They'd never do it publicly. But, the corner infielders are definitely what I want to be on the lookout for. I hope I get to watch it. If not, I usually can watch it a couple hours after it does play. So, all right. Well, what else? So we've got, you know, I haven't looked at the schedule too much, but I do believe looking at the division, though, Chicago has a pretty easy schedule. I think they play Pittsburgh and Milwaukee, like, the first.
Yeah, honestly, I haven't even looked at it. So
yeah, I think in the first 2 weeks, they really just look at I think it's Milwaukee and Pittsburgh. I don't know what to think about Pittsburgh. I was joking earlier before I brought you on about even at 20% capacity or 30% capacity, it's probably going to look like a normal game in Pittsburgh. They're probably not even going to know the difference, which is kind of me being an ass, but whatever. It won't feel different to those guys. But yeah, so the Cardinals start off with Cincinnati, then they head right back to Florida to take on the Marlins, which they probably already played them, what, like 40 times in spring training. So they've seen those guys.
They played them a lot.
And then they come home on the 8th to face the Brewers. So, I was thinking about this the other day, and I think somebody had interviewed Colton Wong not too long ago that, you know, it's funny how things work out sometimes. The Cardinals home opener is going to feature an opposing player that, you know, wore Cardinal red for a very long time and in some ways was a fan favorite. I think just because of his longevity with the club and his gold gloves and his defense and everything else. So Colton Wong will be coming back on the home opener on the 8th. I have no doubt, even with limited fans, he's going to get a pretty sizable standing ovation. And he deserves one, you know. That'll be a home opener I'm interested in. You know, I've only been to one home opener throughout the years. I don't know if you ever have. I don't know if I've ever even asked you that question. In 2001.
No, I never have.
You know, and I don't know if the Clydesdales and anything going to show up this year. I don't think so. But, you know, I did catch it in 2011. A coworker of mine's a season ticket holder. We did have a pretty good seat. So it was 2011. It was, we didn't know at the time. You know, everybody had anxiety over, you know, gosh, this could be Albert's last year. And then that seemed to be what the atmosphere and the moods were. Are we watching, you know, his last home opener as a Cardinal? We didn't know it at the time, but we were also watching the debut of Lance Berkman, who I had my eyes on the whole game, because here's a guy that terrorized us for years with the Astros organization. And now I look at the Big Puma or Fat Elvis or whatever his nickname was at the time, standing out in right field, and I'm like, yeah, I think he's gonna do well here, you know. And not only is he standing out there now because he was available and Mozeliak, to his credit, jumped on it, I'm staring at the backup plan next year in case he does depart. And that's the way it would have worked out. I know Lance ran into some injury problems in 2012 and had really limited his playing time, But I thought that's what I was looking at. I was suspicious anyway. But funny thing I remember about that game was a pitching change on the Cardinals' part, and Lance Berkman running from right field into the bullpen to use the bathroom. And you could see him undoing his belt as he's running towards the bullpen. So kind of funny. The not-so-funny memory was Ryan Franklin blowing opening day against those San Diego Padres. So that was my opening day experience. It was 2011, and of course, we didn't like that team until September when they started to get hot.
True. Yeah. You talking about Berkman, that reminded me of a story. It was probably around 2007. Your mom and I were down there. We were sitting in the second deck.
Mm-hmm.
And a young fan, probably, I don't know, 25, 26 years old, was running down there just giving Berkman all kinds of hell, calling him Fat Elvis, and on. This went on for about 3 minutes. And finally, a woman that was sitting directly behind where he was at, she was in the first row,
mm-hmm.
She told him, "Hey, that's enough. Get the hell out of the way. I can't see." And he turned around with his eyes were real big, and he said, "Sorry," and he kind of put his head down and walked away. But I thought that was funny.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. You know, I don't know if he was an outfielder at the time or if he was at first base, but I just know
he was playing outfield at that time, yeah. Because he was unrelenting, just calling him Fat Elvis, told him he wasn't any good, which that wasn't true.
I wonder what that fan was yelling in 2011 then.
I know it.
Right? When he tied the game up in extra innings, and then he hit that home run in the first
inning. Yeah, when he put that different uniform on, I bet he loved the guy. So
I did. I know that. Just like I enjoyed seeing Carlos Beltran, who also terrorized the Cardinals in mid-2000s in the playoffs. I enjoyed seeing him in a Cardinals uniform for a couple years as well. Now, I don't know if he brought his trash can with him when he was with the Cardinals, but that's a different story for a different day. All right, before we move on here, just want to remind everybody you can check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. Please subscribe to that podcast. It takes only about 30 seconds, and best of all, it's free. You can find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. You can find us on Facebook at Two Birds on a Bat. Just search that term. Share that page with, let's see, I've already picked on the Pirates, Orioles, and Mariners. Let's share that page with let's go with Marlins. We'll share that page with a Marlins fan. They share the spring training facility. So you've got those lowly Marlins fans out there, low expectations. Let's go ahead and share it with them. You find us on Instagram at Two Birds on a Bat Show, and you can always find us on lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio. All right, so I don't know. We do, prediction things are fun for fans to do at times. I'm usually wrong. But how do you see this division shaping up? As we get into September, August, do you see any clear runaways in the Central, or do you think it's going to be much like it has in the last couple of years, where it's kind of ran up into that last week before we really know who's going to make the cut and who's going to end out on top?
Yeah, I honestly don't think anybody's going to run away with it. It's going to be, a two, possibly a three, a three-team race. And I was actually looking at Cincinnati's lineup, and I tell you what, they're not as bad as I thought they were.
No, from a lineup standpoint,
pretty good batch in there.
They do. And, they got Castellanos, Moustakas, Suarez over at third. I mean, yeah, and they still have Joey Votto, and he's still a dangerous hitter.
Right. So, yeah.
They do. They have, their starting eight are pretty solid. It's, their pitching. How's their pitching? Their pitching was good last year, but, they no longer have, they lost their big guy in Trevor Bauer, so you don't know what kind of impact that'll have on the rotation. But they had a pretty good rotation last year. They underachieved last year. They surprised everybody. I thought they would end up better than what they did. So pretty surprising. We always count the Brewers out. Somehow they always make it, and they made it last year under a 500 record, but they still made it at least to the the playoff round and got bounced quickly by the Dodgers. Thankfully, God, can you imagine that? But obviously that the expanded playoffs, the 16 team format, that's not here this year. Thankfully, I didn't really like it anyway. So we're back to the normal, 10 teams that are going to make the postseason. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be a tough division. We got to see how this Cardinals pitching holds up. Not having two guys you were counting on in the rotation is always tough, but a credit to the organization for always having depth. They always have arms. Do they have enough of really good arms to round out a solid, you know, starting five? Because you can't overwork anybody right now. You think about the limited time they played last year. You know, they're probably going to be really conscious of anybody being overworked. So I would be surprised to see starters get beyond the seventh inning here for a few weeks until they start getting able to stretch themselves out. So we'll see.
A lot of arms. The bullpen's going to be important.
It is. And I think the bullpen's always, well, you know, as soon as I say this, that's the area I'm comfortable with, it's going to blow up. Right. But I think that they have enough options, and they have some good options that are going to be sitting down in Memphis they can call upon too. So I actually think the bullpen is going to be an area of strength. I think the rotation is going to be the one that a lot of people have eyes on early on. And of course, there's always a question about the offense, even with the addition of Nolan Arenado. You don't know. This offense has frustrated everybody over the last couple of years while the pitching and defense have really carried him. It's been the offense that's kind of been the anchor, kind of anchoring him down, slowing him up. But
sure.
Yeah, we'll see.
If you look around all of MLB right now, you know, the thing is, there's a lot more strikeouts. And, you know, a lot of the big sportscasters are really concerned that, you know, the games will last longer. Guys are hitting home runs and striking out, and there's nothing in between.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. That's actually a good topic there. And before I even get to that, I just want to take a quick moment to thank our featured partners, starting with Mike and his wonderful crew at Adams Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Adams is home to the best barbecue in St. Louis. They do big box orders, catering, and, of course, in-house dining, and they are open. If you want the full experience, head on down to Adam's Smokehouse and meet Mike and his gang. Decide from the awesome menu. You won't be disappointed. That's our friends at Adam's Smokehouse. St. Louis, here's your cue. And don't forget our friends at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, located in both Missouri and Illinois. If you're looking for the right organization to help your youngster with a game of baseball or softball, look no further than the Gators Baseball Academy and their four-pillar system. To learn more, check them out at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Yeah, you know, I heard Tim Kirkjian for ESPN. You know, he's been in the game for years, you know, not as long as Peter Gammons, but pretty close. And that's one of his concerns as well. Too many strikeouts, walks, and he said it, and I agree, too many home runs. The game has changed. And that, I'm not overly worried about it. I'm not really a person that carries anxiety daily and worries about the future of the sports. I think it's going to be around for a very long time, but I do worry about his popularity and the interest in it, especially in the younger generation. You know, a home run's great, and it's great. You know, like we went to games together in 1998 when I came home on leave from the Marines and saw McGuire put one in Big Mac Land off Billy Wagner. Home runs are awesome at the right time. When there are too many of them, it feels like what the slam dunk has become to the NBA, or hell, even a 3-point shot now. It's like we know you all can do it. You know, all it takes is you catching that pitch on the right spot of the bat, and most every major leaguer can put one out. Hell, most of the pitchers can. So that's great. But I think the action in the game, even in between events like that, has been what I think we've been missing. That's just, you know, the hit and run. Saw a couple of them in 2019. I about fell off my chair. I'm like, shit, when's the last time I saw one of those executed, you know, back to back?
Right.
You know, a suicide squeeze, hell, even a bunt, you know, a sacrifice bunt. It's just those things in the game, like some people are going to look at it on the surface, go, well, those things aren't exciting. You know, they are. When you package all that stuff up together with a timely home run at some point in the game, you know, maybe it's my age showing, but I just think there's something to the action and the strategy of the game that's been lacking, because everybody's focused on elevating the ball. And instead of just doing what you have to do in an at-bat to move a runner over, everybody's focused on, you know, I got to get this ball in the air. You know, I got to get the right launch angle on it. And so it has taken a little bit away from the game. But here's the thing, like, if that's how they're teaching young players how to play now, then that way of baseball is going to go on for a while, and everybody will have to adjust to it, I guess. Because I even hear it at the little league level. I don't teach my 7 and 8 year olds that. Hell, I'm just trying to teach them how to not let a ball hit them in the face.
What I don't understand is what I've been seeing. is the shift is going on, which that's fine, but the hitters aren't adjusting. I can't believe if you look, you got a right-handed batter up, and you look down, the third baseman is playing closer to second than he is third. Why can't you bunt the ball to get on, especially when you're whiffing? If you've whiffed two or three times that day, why don't you bunt the ball to get on base? They're giving you base. They're daring you to do that.
Yeah.
And bunting is a lost art.
Yeah. Well, I think that's
I've seen some.
Yeah. That's what it's going to take.
Some guys trying to bunt that, you know, it's terrible. We learned fundamentals when we were in Little League how to bunt. We had good bunters. Now, I don't even see that.
Yeah. You don't see much of it anymore. And I don't know. I'm theorizing here, but doesn't it take only one or two times doing that before you start changing a defense's mind a little bit? Like,
right. Yeah. You know. If you're going to get on, you know, going to get on base, they're going to move over a little bit.
Yeah. It's you funny know, because
what's the sense of pulling the ball? You know, if they're playing a left-handed hitter and they've got three guys on the right-hand side, why are you swinging at an inside pitch anyway? And hitting it to the third infielder that's in between first and second. That happens a lot.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, they're hitting major league arms, and I'm sure that's, you know, to us, we might say, well, why can't you just do that? I'm sure there's some guys that just really have a tough time going the other way. I think that.
Oh, they do.
As much as Matt Carpenter.
They know that, and the pitchers pitch to the shift, too. You know, I mean, they're not going to throw the ball.
Of course, right. And I think that's the big thing that people forget. Like, you know, if a defense is shifting, it's not like the pitcher doesn't know that. So they're going to try to avoid going somewhere where it makes it easier for the hitter to go to the opposite field. So Matt Carpenter actually hit better against the shift than when the shift wasn't put on him last year, which I was shocked to hear because, you know, the notion is that, you know, he can't beat it. And I still think there's some truth to that, but strangely enough, he actually performed a little bit better last year against it. So I don't know how that all works, but I don't know. Once our minds get set, I guess, on an idea, it's hard to break it. But okay, so what I've got for tonight is I'm just glad baseball's back, and I do think the Cardinals come out on top because it is a home opener, and they're wearing the navy hats, which I kind of miss. I admit, you know, for the longest time I didn't like those navy blue hats on the road, but since they're in Cincinnati and Cincinnati wears the red caps, they're going to go to the navy tonight. So I'm calling for a win. I'm calling for a series win, 2 out of 3.
It would be nice.
You're not committing. That's fine. all right. I've got some stuff to do around here, around the studio here. So I do have to shorten the show up a little bit. I just wanted to get something out before opening day here. And if we have time post game in the evening, I do another show called the Team Rivals Podcast. We do that one live though, so I got to be on schedule. But if I get a few minutes, I potentially put out a part two, kind of a post game, opening day. So, We'll see. We'll see how the night shapes up. And just want to remind everybody before we go, you can find us at twobirdsonabat.com, on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show, on Facebook, just search Two Birds on a Bat, Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show, and lineupmediagroup.fm. You can find me at TOR_Ron75. You will not find my father on Twitter. You probably find him on Facebook, but you will not find him on Twitter. I don't know. Tell me you don't have a Twitter account. Because now I got to start watching the show.
No, I do not. I do not.
Okay, you stay off of it then. It's a nasty place. all right, everyone. I am out next week, so we will not be able to do a Ruffled Feathers next week. I do know that Benji and someone else potentially are going to be picking back up the main show that you usually hear on Thursdays, the Two Birds on a Bat, the flagship show, is returning with Benji. So. We'll let the word out as soon as we know when that's going to fire back up. But we have baseball back today. We're all thankful for that. All right, folks, until next time, we love you all so much. Bye-bye, everyone. Let's go, Birds!